we've come over some high mountains, some deep valleys. But just in case I don't get another chance to tell you, you made it. Just in case I don't get another chance to tell you, you made it. Scripture's been read. I just want to focus on one section of the scripture. Whole text is being used, but I want to focus on one section. And it's in verse 15 through 15. To one, he gave 5 talents. To another, 2. To another, 1. And here's the phrase. To each according to his ability. To each according to his ability. Maximize your given talent. Maximize your given talent. And even though he may or may not hear this, I want to dedicate this message to somebody who opened my eyes to this text differently years ago. He is now the pastor of the Bethel AME Church in Baltimore. He was my preaching professor at Methodist Theological School. It's Reverend Dr. Patrick Claiborne. The reason I bring him up is because I sat in his office back in 2010. This goes along with the message, y'all. Since there was such great exegesis, I don't need to do too much. Now, let me tell you a story. Sitting in his office back in 2010, and I went to his office and I was in tears. And some people might think this was crazy, but I was crying over a sermon. And not just any old sermon. I was selected by the faculty to preach the baccalaureate service for graduation. I was told that as a student, when you're selected, they select who they believe will represent the class the best. And usually was a person that was awarded what is the highest honor for preaching at the school, the Nystrand Award, which I received the year before. I was crying because I was on campus during a time of tension. The tension was that not too many black preachers would get the chance to do what I was getting ready to do. So when the announcement came, all of my black compatriots, all my brothers and sisters came out the woodwork and began to say stuff to me that normally wouldn't bother me. You know, the good stuff that shouldn't bother you, but for some reason, it was bothering. They say, you know what, man? You need to get up there and let them know what it's all about. Preach your face off. We're going to be there. And the more the intended encouragement came, the more I felt heavy and couldn't even write one word for that Friday night. never told my family any of this because as far as they knew, and sometimes I think as far as they know, my process for preparation has usually been the same for the last 20 years.
Amen.
You just study, prepare, get ready, and then what God does, God does, and that's it. The truth is, a whole lot goes into this. And for me, I was unnerved. Probably for the first time since I preached my initial sermon, February 13th, 1998, as a 16-year-old. I was unnerved. I couldn't focus in class. I'd have passed my classes. I knew I was graduating. That ain't the issue. I'd have passed all the tests. I'd have written all the papers. I was such a good student in my last years in my MDiv. I made sure that I read everything so far in advance. That I did all my work in advance, so I didn't have to fool with a bunch of stuff. I was good. My grades were good. That wasn't my problem. My problem was I was tired of listening to people. And it was a struggle because I knew that this was the first major stage, if you will, where I would take what I have learned, take what God had given me, and be on a platform where, for all the good that it can be, people that are academic, people that will critique your exegesis, would be in the room with other students in the room. And no matter how much they say they love Jesus, they were going to critique the execution of the text. So I ran to the one place I knew I could be myself. And I ran to Dr. Claiborne's office and I sat in there. I said, Doc, I can't do this.
Told him.
I can't do this. I cannot do this. I can't write anything. I'm stuck. I'm never stuck. This is crazy. I can't do this. This was going to be the first time I was on the edge. This was going to be the first time I would have to renege on a preaching engagement because I just couldn't do it. It was that rough for me. I didn't understand why. I didn't understand how it got that way. I said, I don't get this.
Yes, yes.
This short black man sat back in his chair, not that much older than me. He just kind of reclined back and he looked at me. He looked up to the ceiling. He looked back at me. And he leaned up. He said, Charles, do you know the story of the servants and the talents?
Well,
I said, well, yeah, I know it. Of course I know it. He's like, well, let me tell you a story again. He talks kind of fast here. Let me tell you a story again. Let me tell you. The story is not about who you think it's about. I'm like, oh, okay, we've read this story. You don't have to exegete, but what are you talking about? He said, the story is not about the person with the one. So I dried up my tears and got intrigued. He said, the story is about the person with five. And I said, what are you talking about? And he's a smart guy. So I trust that he's going to take me. He's not just a smart guy. The man can preach his face off, okay? And maybe one day, somehow, some way, I'll find a way to get him back to Columbus so you understand what I understand. So I'm like, I'm intrigued now. What are you talking about? So he said, listen to the story again. He said, story is, master gave three men, money, watch it according to their ability. He didn't give it according to his favoritism. He gave it according to their ability. So one had five, one had two, one had one. So he gave what he gave according to their ability. I was like, okay. So once you get to the end of the text, where he lays into the one that had one and did nothing with the one. He gave that one, not to the man with the two that doubled his, but to the man that had five and doubled his. Why do you think that was? Well, you're going to tell me because I'm not in the mold to really be thinking. Because, again, the master gave according to their ability. So when you sit down with this text, whatever you're struggling with, this is what you're going to do. You're going to remember everything that has ever been invested in you, and you're going to remember all that has been poured into you, and what you're going to do is make sure that you don't disappoint all those things and all those places that have placed something in you, because God has given you something that he did not give other people. And he gave you according not to favoritism, but to your ability. And your ability is not like everybody else's. So you can get over what people are trying to say and do towards you. You need to focus on the fact that God has given you everything you need to do this. And I walked up out of there, and I ain't never been so fired up in my life. And I got up there a few weeks later and preached like I never preached in my life. It's still on YouTube. Find it. You will not believe it. And I got up there and acted like I was back in my home church, being like I am, and did not care. And suddenly, God showed up in a way that literally changed the course of how things were done. And it messed with my mind so much. And now, when I come back to this at the end of 2018, with all that has happened in this year, I need to encourage somebody today and let you know, here it is. We are not talking about the things you have been given. It's time to look at what God sees in you. We are not going to make it in 2019 continuing to look at what other folk have and what we ain't got. Can I say it like I really feel it? The problem with the church universally is that we continue to look at each other according to what has been given and not ask God to show us what the ability is that he's given us. We so preoccupied with all the stuff of church, and we forgot who we are as the church. And when you forget that, you cannot go out and be the church. So you have to excuse me for just a minute, because I refuse to go into 2019 with the baggage of people continuing to hope that we are going to be like somebody else. Get that out of your mind. God didn't make us to be like anybody else. God has not created us to be in this position at this time in history to be like anybody else. God did not plant you on the south side of Columbus to be like anybody else. God has not led you to this ministry to be like anybody else. God has not led us to this point after all that we have been through to be like anybody else. So if it's going to look crazy, let it look crazy. But now you need to know, God has given us according to our ability. So check this out. If you don't want to be the one with the one, there's some things you need to know now so God can continue to see how you grow. God gave according to their ability. What is in you? I know the relevant question is stated a different way, but I'm going to say it a different way. What's in you? How are you going to make this thing go? How are we going to make this thing go? First, focus on your ability. Listen. Listen and pay attention to the nuance of the story. The man with five went out, made deals, engaged the community. I'm going with something. Did it say that he took the money and stayed home? No. He engaged the community. And when he engaged the community, he got literally a 100% return. He doubled what he had. Right? The one with five came back with 10. That's a doubling of the initial investment. The one with two still went out into the community, did what he needed to do with what he had, and came back with a 100% return. The one that had one, watch this. His focus was on his assumption about his master. The text says the master gave according to their what? Ability. So the master knew what they could handle. But the one that had the one focused on the master's disposition and not his ability. So he buried what was given according to his ability. He buried it only because of his assumption of his master's disposition. There are a whole lot of us that have buried a whole lot of stuff this year based on the assumption of what folk thought. Had absolutely nothing to do with your ability. Had absolutely nothing to do with your skill set. Had absolutely nothing to do with your ability to be faithful. We buried a lot of stuff because we began to think about what other folk thought. And watch this, what you assume they thought. That's worse, because you're making the assumption that folk won't go with you. The two that doubled theirs went out, and hey, they might have got rejected over here and over here, but somehow they came back with a 100% return. How do you come back doubling your stuff unless you what? Keep on moving. So that means it doesn't matter if you get rejected over here or over here or over there or over there. If God has given you something and he has seen your ability, somehow, some way, there is going to be a return on investment. Okay, let me go to the Bible. The Bible says that his word will not return to him void, but accomplish the purpose in which it was sent. That means if you put it out there, it's got to come back with a return on investment. What God has given you has to come back with a return on investment.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So stop being afraid to tell somebody that the Lord is good. Stop being afraid of looking somebody in the eye and saying, I know I don't look like what you think I ought to look like, but if you knew what I've been through and you knew where I've been and what I had to go through, you would shout like me. You would shout all over this doggone sanctuary. You would shout until your whole body fell out, because when I think about who God is to me, why would I keep it to myself? The first two went out and focused on using their ability. The one that didn't get a return focused on the wrong thing.
But how does this still work? Because number two, you got to use the authority that's been given to you. Now, authority's different than power. See, the master gave according to their ability. So he knew they had the skill set to make it happen. You see, the master knows that they have the skill set to make it work. Okay? But listen to the master as he's getting his return. Master, you gave me 5, I doubled it. Good job. You've obtained my favor. Hey, you gave me 2, I came back and doubled it. Well done. Come on. Master, I know that you don't reap where you do not sow. So, rather than incur your wrath by losing this, I went ahead and just put it off to the side, and I wanted to make sure you had what you gave. Fool, why did you do that? If you thought that about me, listen to the master, then the least you could have done was take it to the bank and let it get some interest. I'm going somewhere. So the first thing he's saying is he's acknowledging their ability, the use of and the lack thereof. But here's something he said, and if you miss it, you'll miss it quick because sometimes we gloss. He said, you could have at least gone to the bank, right? He's happy that the other two did what they needed to do. But how were they able to get that maximum return? Because the first thing that the master did was give it to them, which meant he gave them authority to function on his behalf. If I give you something with the intent on you giving me a return, I am telling you, you are functioning with the full authority of me because I am asking you to function on my behalf in the world. Okay, let me say one more thing. If God has given you something, what he is telling you is, I want you to function as my representative and use my authority, and also in turn use your gifting with my authority to bring back a return. So that means that where your ability ends, God's authority begins. And by God, if you put it all together, you become an unstoppable force. People fail because they just start with their stuff. Your stuff can go so far. Yes, it can. There's people that got million-dollar ideas, and no matter what they do, it just happens. Right? But what happens when you take that plus real authority? Stuff begins to move.
Yes, sir.
Do you think... Okay, church, let's bring it back for a second. Do you think it's an accident that with all the things that we can talk because we've been talking? Do you think it's an accident that God has lifted such a burden that we had in this church?
No.
Wait for it. And God did it in less than 6 months. About to blow your mind. You ready for this? The moment we started functioning with God's authority and not just what we thought, things began to move. So the conversations are not about, do we have a dollar for a light bulb? The conversation is, we can go out and get 100 light bulbs, but we just want to make sure that we're still doing what the master asked us. Do you see the difference? Because when God did that, when we started saying, you know what? We don't know where this is going. We all said it. We don't know where this is going. But God, we're going to just, what, take what we have and we're going to go with you. And let's just see how this goes. And the next thing I know, the next thing we know, there's stuff coming from the east, the west, the north, the south. There's stuff coming from everywhere. And I'm not just talking about stuff. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about resources. I'm talking about partnerships. I'm talking about all kind of stuff. It is not an accident that God brought us this far in such a short time. God don't need you to come up with a 20-year plan to make something happen. All God's asking you to do, take what I gave you, because I gave it to you according to your ability. And all I need you to do is walk by faith and use my authority. That's why we're here. Because when God's authority matches up with what's in you, there's nothing that can't be accomplished. So there's one more thing.
Amen.
To maximize it, you can't waste the opportunity.
Yes.
So the man that had one wasted the opportunity. That's worse than wasting a gift. Hear me. If I give you something, if I just give it to you, I don't care what you do with it. Because it's now yours.
That's right?
This wasn't a gift. This was a business transaction. Okay. This was a business transaction. Did y'all read the text? This was a bit. It's like a master who leaves to go away to handle some stuff, that gives his servants some responsibility.
Yes.
And he gave this level to this one, this level to this one, and this level to this one,
yes,
according to their ability.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then as he gave that, he went away. Right?
Yes.
He went away, and he went away basically saying, I ain't got nothing to worry about. Because I gave what I gave for me to get a return when I return.
Yeah, yeah.
When I come back,
yes,
my mentality is I am getting a return. Right? He came back. What did y'all do while I was gone? Master, I doubled your money. Good job. Master, while you were gone, I doubled your money too. Good job. Master, you're a miser. So I saved it so you didn't lose anything. Well, that ain't why I gave it to you. I gave it to you to do something with it. So since you can't do nothing with this, not only am I going to take what I gave you back, but I'm going to let you watch this. Give me what I gave you. Give it here. Mm-hmm. Give it here. Watch this. I'm taking what I gave you, and I'm going to give it to him. And what I need you to do is go on to the unemployment line and sit down somewhere. Now, ain't that in the text? He went off into a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. When when you know, here it is. Don't even think about heaven and hell. Think about real life. You know those folk, everybody know that as God is blessing you because you decided to do what you're supposed to do, they always over on the sideline saying, you know, I used to be real good at that, man. Oh, let me get real funny. I know some brothers that swear up and down they should have been in the league. But they smoked themselves out of the league. No, fool, you were smoking when we were playing together. You didn't smoke yourself out of nothing. You didn't have a shot. You wouldn't have passed the drug test.
Well,
I know I'm better than you. No, you're not, because you're sitting over here. When you had the opportunity, you what? You wasted it. And can I just go ahead and get this out of the way too? I'm as pro-black in everything as can be. You hear me? I am about, look, and it's not just because it's Kwanzaa and all that stuff. I live the seven principles every day of the week, okay? But, and I believe that there's a whole lot of systematic stuff that has occurred. I believe all that. I know it for myself. I've seen it and witnessed it over and over again. I've seen it happen to people, all this kind of stuff. But can I tell you the truth? There's some people that took no opportunity and made something out of nothing. Madam C.J. Walkers don't walk around everywhere. Everybody needs some hair care. Showing up, she come along. And she became a millionaire in the midst of all kind of oppression. There are all kind of people that came up with systems and ideas and concepts. My goodness, in Oklahoma, we had what was called Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street was the blueprint of what we know locally here in this area was now the King Lincoln District. But don't you remember there was a day on Mount Vernon Avenue when everything you needed was over there? Come on, and you can wait. A way can be made out of no way when you can take your gifting, your skill, God's authority, and walk it out. But my goodness, if you get a shot, take it. Just take the shot. If God gives you the shot, take it. I know it's all kind of stuff going on, but if you get the shot, take the shot. If God is giving you an opportunity to be in front of somebody's face and to tell them about how good God is, don't waste the shot. Don't waste the opportunity. Tell somebody about how good God is. If God has given you a business, given you a venture, don't waste the opportunity. Run with that thing. Don't look back and go for all you got. If there's a promotion in your future, don't let anybody talk you out of it. Go for what you know. Maximize it. Don't waste it, because you'll end up being like the other cats, like some of your miserable friends. That you swore up and down in 2017 you were taking them out of your phone, but you didn't. Take the chance. I'm asking you, as your pastor, this is recorded, so it's going to be documented. I am asking you, as your pastor, don't squander the opportunity of 2019. Don't come up with an excuse as to why it can't happen. Because as your pastor, it'll fall on deaf ears. I believe too much in what God can do to hear anybody say it can't be done. If God's done it already, God's going to keep on doing it. Well, we can. No, don't say can't, because God is able. Yes, God has given us everything we need. God has given us financial minds. God has given us people that have business acumen. God has given us singers. God has given us worship leaders. God has given us prayer warriors. God has given us teachers. God has given us everything that we need to go forward. Don't say can't. Don't say it in my presence.
Amen.
Because as the master did, I'll just say, well, God bless you, because there's somebody that can handle it. If you want to watch God work, just let us know. Because we love to have people sitting up front as God shows you how powerful he is. But for God's sakes, don't waste this one. Don't waste your chance. Don't have regret. It's better to fall forward than to never move at all. That's what the master said to that one. Even if you couldn't do anything out there, the least you could have done was put it in the bank and let that institution draw interest. Don't waste the chance, because the best is yet to come.
Amen.